Hi, this is Mac of Mac's List. Find Your Dream Job is presented by Mac's List, an online community where you can find free resources for your job search, plus online courses and books that help you advance your career. My latest book is called Land Your Dream Job Anywhere. It's a reference guide for your career that covers all aspects of the job search, including expert advice in every chapter. You can get the first chapter for free by visiting maxlist.org/anywhere. This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm Mac Pritchard, your host and publisher of Mac's List. I'm joined by my co-host, Leela O'Hara and Jessica Black from the Mac's List team. This week, we're talking about mentors, how to find one, and how to be one. A job search is not a solo act. To get a gig you can love, you need the help of others. And mentors can make a huge difference through introductions, advice, and references. Our guest expert this week is Marcy Albaher. She and I talk later in the show about how to find mentors and why you should be one yourself. Job hunting is a skill. People who master it get better jobs and better careers. Leela has found a new online resource you can use to improve your next job search. It's a 12-part online course on the basics of job hunting, and it includes classes on resumes, cover letters, and other fundamentals. Leela tells us more in a moment. You've applied for a job, and you discover that you and the hiring manager know one or more people in common. Should you mention these connections in your application or in the interview? And how can you do this in a professional way? That's our question of the week. It comes from listener Madeline Johnson in Eugene, Oregon. And Jessica offers her advice shortly. As always, let's check in first with the Mac's List team. And every week, our co-host Leela O'Hara is out there searching the nooks and crannies of the internet. And she's looking for websites, books, tools you can use in your job search and your career. So, Leela, what have you found for us this week?
This week, I discovered a new resource that I think is really valuable for all types of job seekers. Whether you're looking for your first job out of college or you're making that mid-career change, I think this could really help you out. So Udacity, which is an online educational classroom, they announced this week that they're teaming up with Google to offer 12 courses for free to job seekers worldwide. These 12 courses cover a wide span of topics, everything from refreshing your resume, crafting your new cover letter, strengthening your LinkedIn network and brand. And if you're in the tech field, they also have very specific courses for technical topics like data science interview prep, data structures and algorithms in Swift, and optimizing your GitHub.
Cool.
Yeah. So in the announcement, Udacity VP of Careers Kathleen Mullaney shared that this next generation of talent will enter the job market possessing a diverse range of skills, but facing a lot of competition in a rapidly shifting hiring landscape. They're going to need every resource they can get to make sure they're able to compete successfully for available roles. I thought that statement was really apt, and I agree 100% with it, because I think that this generation of job seekers, myself included, we're really going to have to adjust to the changing job landscape. There's way more opportunity than ever to find a job online, and there's just so many ways that you can do it, but there's also way more challenges and way more competition that we face today than other generations in the past have faced. And your job search is completely unique, and there's many ways that you can go about it. But I think having courses that are tailored to the specific challenges of this generation and right now, I think that's really valuable. I know that, for example, when I was looking for a job earlier this year, one thing that I personally struggled with was crafting my cover letter. I know how important it was to tell my career story effectively and set myself apart from other applicants. So I would spend a lot of time customizing my cover letter, for every job application I was submitting, and I would get really caught up in the wording and the phrasing of it. And I just kind of felt like I was getting stuck and hitting a dead end with it. So I think that having a course as a resource for me to kind of think of a new way to approach the cover letter would have just been really valuable to me at the time when I was looking for a job.
Yeah, or for new folks who have never done it before, kind of knowing what a cover letter looks like, what a good one, what how to structure it, those types of things, I think that would be really helpful. I agree with you that a course is really helpful in kind of breaking down the ways to go about something and learn it as a skill and develop that.
Yeah, I think that that format would work really well for me, and I think other job seekers as well. Each course comes with a series of interactive quizzes. You can get advice from industry pros, and you also have the community of fellow students there to support you. I think that's one thing that's really nice is to have other people that are in the same boat as you are. That way you can bounce ideas off of them and get feedback from them. And that way you feel a lot more supported and you're less frustrated about the whole process because you know everybody else is going through the same thing. So having that level of support, whether you're looking for support crafting your cover letter or tweaking your resume or expanding your network, I think that will be really valuable if you look into these courses from Udacity and Google. So I encourage everybody out there, don't get stuck and feel frustrated. Just seek out other people who are in the same boat as you and seek out resources, courses, and advice for the challenges that you're facing. And that'll really give you an advantage and a leg up when you're applying for jobs.
Yeah, and I think that I really like this resource, and I think it's really helpful both in the way that you're presenting it of support for resumes and cover letters and things like that, but I do also really like the aspect that it has opportunities for people to develop, say, tech skills or probably refresher courses for folks who are already possess some skills but need a little bit of additional kind of, like I said, refresher, just to make sure that they are staying current and staying relevant on what's happening in that industry. So I think that that's really valuable too, that you don't have to sort of find a completely specified online master's program or something like that, that there's a one-stop shop kind of a place that you can go for courses in general. So that's really helpful.
Yeah, it's a great suggestion. And, you know, obviously at MaxList, we offer some online courses as well. But I like the general point you're making here, Leela, that it's important to get the training and the knowledge to get good at job hunting, because some people, we all learn in different ways. Some people enjoy listening to podcasts like this. Some people enjoy taking courses or looking at books or going to events. Whatever you're best at, find it and do it. And I also like the fact that I know a lot of job seekers, budgets matter when they're out of work. And so the fact that this is free, I think, makes it even more attractive. So great tip.
Thanks.
Yeah, good. Well, thank you, Leela. And if you've got a suggestion for Leela, please write her. We'd love to share your idea on the show. Her address is leela@maxlist.org. Now let's turn to you, our listeners, and Jessica Black is here to answer one of your questions. Jessica, what did you find in the MaxList mailbag this week?
We have a question from Madeline Johnson from Eugene, Oregon, and she says, I know that who you know matters more than what you know, but name dropping always feels weird to me, especially in an interview. Any thoughts? So I do have thoughts, Madeline, of course, and I think this is a really great question because it does matter who you know. I'm not sure if it matters more than what you know, but it does really, really help. So I think this is a good way, a good question to figure out how to navigate when to say someone's name, when to use that, and how to make sure that it doesn't feel weird to you because I think it's weird. It shouldn't be weird. I think that where it does feel awkward and uncomfortable is when it is just name dropping and you're using it as a way to get something out of the conversation rather than having it be an authentic interaction or use of the name. And so the relationship, you know, I would just recommend if it does feel inauthentic, I would recommend don't use it, because the relationship really has to be strong for you to be able to use that name and not just have it feel like, oh, this person that I met once, or this person that I am connected to on LinkedIn, but doesn't know that I am using your name. Those types of scenarios, obviously you wouldn't say all of that, provide all of that extra information, but that's sort of the feeling that I'm gathering would be the relationship, that where it can feel really uncomfortable and really, again, inauthentic. And a good way to start this relationship is in the cover letter. So that way it's not a forced name drop, but it is providing a context for starting that conversation. And so you can use something sort of at the beginning of the cover letter, saying so-and-so referred me to this position. And then that way you've used that name, and the hiring manager will recognize the name, of course, because you have a shared connection. And then you can talk about it more in detail about how you know that person within the interview and share stories about how you've worked together and why that relationship is strong and why this person recommended you for this position because you're a good fit. And so I would also recommend telling a story to give that context. So like I said, not just an arbitrary using of the name, but you know, really telling that story and creating that narrative of how you know this person. And hopefully, like I said, I think going back to just keeping it authentic, and if you feel uncomfortable about using it, don't do it. But if you have a strong enough relationship that there is a name that you can use, weave it into your conversation rather than just kind of blurting it out as soon as you meet the person that you're interviewing with, saying Sally McNeil or whatever, and having it be sort of just a name drop. So what do you guys think?
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you were saying there in terms of advice for this listener, because I think one thing about mentioning who you know in the interview is that it really does set you apart from the competition, because mm-hmm. if you know somebody that's a decision maker at the organization or that's really trusted by the people who are making the hiring decision, then that can go like a really long way to making sure that you get hired. So.
People like to hire who they know, or, you know, recommendations go a long way because there's a trust involved with that. So I think that's a really good point.
I like your point about thinking about the strength of the relationship, Jessica, because you obviously when you mention somebody's name, it's going to have more of an effect if that person knows you well. Mm-hmm. And I think a good rule of thumb to follow too is think about social situations. Say you meet someone for the first time and you have a friend in common or maybe a former colleague. And how would you bring that name up? You might say, oh, you know, you work at so-and-so. I think we both know this person. And that feels very natural. It doesn't feel awkward.
Right.
And I think it's the same with mentioning a name in a job search. The other thing to consider here, she didn't bring this up, but it's okay to go to the person that you know in common and talk to them about the people that they know at the employer.
Yes.
And find out more about that relationship. And it's also very appropriate to ask that person if they would contact the person inside the company on your behalf.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm glad that you brought that up, because that is really another good way to so that if you feel uncomfortable with using the name, but have that conversation with your connection so that it can be made aware to the hiring manager. I think that's really important.
Yeah, and finally, think about the result you hope mentioning that name might produce. Mm-hmm. And I think it falls into two buckets. One is you want the manager to think, you've worked with so-and-so. That's a reputable, well-known person. You must really be on your game. And the other thing you hope that they'll do is that they'll pick up the phone or send an email to that person and say, hey, what's the story behind this applicant? Tell me about them.
That's right.
And that's gold if you can get them to do that.
That's right. And that's, again, reiterating why the relationship needs to be strong, is that knowing that if the hiring manager does contact that person that you've used their name, that that person needs to know that you're using their name so that they can be prepared with having a story to give to that hiring manager.
Excellent point. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, thank you, Jessica, and thank you, Leila, and thank you, Madeline, for the question. If you've got a question for Jessica, send her an email. Her address is jessica@maxlist.org. You can also call her listener line. That number is area code 716-JOB-TALK, or post your question on the MaxList Facebook group. However you do it, if we use your question on the show, we'll send you a copy of Land Your Dream Job Anywhere. We'll be back in a moment, and when we return, I'll talk with this week's guest expert, Marcy Albaher, about mentors, how to find one, how to be one. If you're listening to this show right now, there are two things I know about you. First, you're a fan of podcasts. Second, you're looking for tools and tips that can help you get a great job and get ahead in your career. That's why I'm excited to announce MaxList's newest resource, and it's designed for podcast listeners like you. We just published the 2018 edition of the Top Career Podcast Guide. It's a directory of this year's best podcasts for finding a job that matters and building the career you want. This is our most complete career podcast guide ever. You'll discover 78 great shows from around the world. From resume writing advice to salary negotiation tips, you'll find great shows to help you tackle any job search challenge. Get your free copy of Top Career Podcast Guide today. Go to topcareerpodcasts.com. Again, that's topcareerpodcasts.com. And now let's get back to this podcast. Now let's turn to this week's guest expert, Marcy Albaher. Marcy Albaher is a vice president at Encore.org. It's an innovation hub tapping the skills of the 50-plus population. She's a former blogger and columnist for the New York Times, and her latest book is the Encore Career Handbook, How to Make a Living and a Difference in the Second Half of Life. Marcy serves on the board of directors of Girls Right Now, and she's a mentor editor for the Op-Ed Project. She lives in New York City with her husband, Jay, and their French bulldog, Sinatra. Marcy joins us today from New York. Marcy, thanks for being on the show.
It's my pleasure, Mac.
Well, it's an honor to have you. And our topic is mentors, how to find one, how to be one. Let's start, Marcy, with how people think about mentors. And you know, to be fully candid, I'm a sci-fi nerd, so I think of Yoda as one of the first models that come to mind. But I think there is something to that. People often, whether they like sci-fi or not, think of mentors as sort of all wise and figures who appear at pivotal moments. But they can come in all forms, can't they?
They sure can. And I think the biggest misconception about mentors is that there's like one all-knowing mentor. And I think if we're really being honest, life is filled with opportunities to have different kinds of mentors and be different kind of mentor to different people. So I think there's mentors for every season of your life. And I think all of us have the opportunity to be mentors to all kinds of people along the way. So there's this, to me, matrix. I'm mixing movie metaphors, but I think there's a matrix of metaphors out there, a matrix of mentors out there.
That's okay. Well, I'm sure we'll get Lord of the Rings in here.
Exactly.
So just moving from one franchise to the other, but why do mentors matter, Marcy?
Yeah. You know, everything is easier when you have some insights from someone who's kind of traveled the path before you. And I think we all think we have to figure it out on our own. And there's no reason to always figure it out on your own. And so when you need a mentor, it seems like you're asking a lot of people. But the truth is that we all gain so much from being mentors. So there's just this wonderful give and take in that relationship. And I think it's a really valuable life and career skill to just think of all the ways you can be a mentor and find mentors. So it's just to me like a beautiful giving circle way of thinking about life.
Well, I want to talk about the different forms of mentorship and what they can look like. But let's just step back for and touch on a point you made a moment ago, which is, why do people agree to be mentors, especially people who are influential and have just crazy schedules?
Yeah, because, well, it feels really good to help someone. But another interesting thing is, it feels really good to kind of spot talent and nurture that talent. So I think one of the biggest reasons that people become a mentor is they see something of themselves in a person that they start mentoring. And, you know, I almost fell into the trap of saying a younger person that you mentor, but it isn't always that the mentor is older and the mentee is younger. So when I say you see something of yourself, usually I think the best mentors are people, they may not be a lot like you demographically or in other, you know, external ways. But the best mentorships work, I think, when people find a way to identify and see someone going down the path that they have previously gone down and wanting that person to succeed.
And let's talk about the different forms that mentorship can take, because, you know, we started by touching on that model that I think a lot of us have with, of this all-wise, all-seeing person who you work with for decades. But mentors can help you with just a particular problem, or they can be people who help you understand a sector. Talk about that, Marcy, and the different kinds of mentorship you see.
Yeah, I think a lot of mentors, I think of it as like a mentor for a season of your life or of your career. And I keep saying life or career because I think we need mentors in all corners of our life, not just in at work. So, you know, there could be, you know, a situation you go through, a health crisis. I think becoming a new parent is one of them. These like kind of big life events where we all know that if you find the right people to talk to, that whole experience becomes easier to adjust to. So I think of those kinds of mentors where, and you might stay really in close contact with that person while you're in that experience and while you're in that season. And it might, you might find that they're just not so much in your life down the road. And I think that's okay. I think we have to get comfortable with the fact that we can have mentors for a season. So early in my career, I wrote a piece about this for the New York Times a long time ago. My first boss was a wonderful mentor for one major thing in my life, teaching me how to have a job. I feel like I developed so many of my early work habits. I was in a career that I didn't want to stay in, doing a kind of work that I didn't want to stay in a field I didn't want to be in. Yet this man, Shelley, he taught me good work habits. He taught me how to be a professional. He taught me how to organize my to-do list. I mean, like just some various things that I remember liking the way he managed his time. He taught me how to find parts of the day to kind of, in the busiest, stressful day, go out and take a walk and make sure to remember that we live in New York City, which is a really exciting place. And you don't have to be, you know, holed up in your office. And sometimes the best thinking is when you take a walk around the block, not when you sit at your desk feeling stuck. Just little tiny things that I just remember, mostly because I was watching him. So that is one kind of mentor. And I worked with him for 3 years and we stayed in touch over the years, but the mentorship kind of ended after that.
Yeah, as you talk, I can recall people who have helped me in my own career with problems that are situational, like how do you get a job in state government? What should you do when you're applying to graduate school? If you want to launch a website or a podcast, there were all these people that I turned to for specific advice about those problems and challenges, and they were very helpful to me. And some of them I've stayed in touch with, but as you say, often you move on because you have new challenges or new opportunities.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about how you get a mentor. When you're thinking about this, who should you turn to for help? What's your best advice there, Marcy?
Yeah. So there are so many ways to get a mentor. So there are formal mentoring programs. And, you know, at our work at Encore, we have a campaign called Generation to Generation. And we partner, and that campaign is specifically about mobilizing the 50 plus population to get involved in the lives of young people. And we work with many organizations that do formal mentoring program, and Mentor, the national mentoring organization, is a great resource for people who want to become mentors specifically to young people. So we have other relationships, and if mentoring is appealing to you and you're looking to make yourself available, our website has many, the Gen to Gen website has many ideas for that. I noticed that LinkedIn has a new feature where you can tag in your profile that you want to provide career advice about your area of knowledge. I think that's a wonderful way of inviting strangers to approach you about something that you're knowledgeable about. So those are kind of formal pathways, but I think sometimes there's, you know, informal, you know, a lot of mentors relationships that have happened in my life have been really much more about chemistry. And I have this example of I volunteered once at this youth organization here in New York City, and I spent a day, an afternoon volunteering, and I met a young guy who wanted to become a writer, and we were both interested in this volunteer opportunity. And a couple of weeks later, I was teaching a writing class at that time, and he signed up for my writing class, and I just naturally became his mentor, and I helped him get his first publications, and he helped me promote my first book. Well, we became friends after that, and the mentorship ended when he went on another path. And sometime around the time that he had moved out of the city, a good friend of his wrote to me and said, you know, I really loved the relationship you built with Kiboom, is this guy's name. Can I take you out to breakfast? I'd love to get to know you better. And she basically, this woman, Lisa, who is now a dear close friend in my life, she basically invited me to be a mentor to her. She took me out to breakfast. She followed all these rules in this article that I sent you about how to actually approach someone to become a mentor. She got to know me. She admired my work. She told me that we had similar interests in women and work and diversity issues and a bunch of issues that she was interested in. And we found regular ways to get together. And I invited her to events that I was going to. And the interesting part of that relationship is that over the years, we became friends. And I don't consider myself her mentor any longer. She's 15 years younger than me. But I learned so much from her. I come to her now with work and career related questions. You know, we feel like peers. So these relationships very much change over time.
So when you're approaching someone, what kind of preparation do you recommend doing? I mean, in the story you told about the person you'd mentored who had the friend who took you out to breakfast, and you mentioned that she did some homework, she looked at your work. Are there general guidelines you recommend that people follow before they approach someone they hope will become a mentor?
Yeah, I think it's a delicate balance of doing your homework without becoming a stalker. So I think, if the person you're approaching has a public profile of any kind, if they're active on social media, if they're active on LinkedIn or Twitter, basically check out what they've been posting. If they've written books or articles, make sure to read them. You know, be familiar with what is publicly available about that person that they would assume you know. Do not do research to go further than that. Because if you know too much, you might start freaking somebody out.
I worked in human rights advocacy in my 20s and 30s, so I never met him, but I got to know of Elliot Abrams, who became a human rights, worked in the Reagan administration. And there's a biography about him that this always struck me as a little obsessive, but when he was in college, he took a job working with Daniel Patrick Moynihan, who was a U.S. senator. He was Moynihan's family's nanny, and he prepared for that position by reading every academic article Moynihan had ever written, who was a prolific author. So there's, it's a little odd. Some people, I think, do carry it to extremes, but I think you're
right. But that is publicly available information. So yeah. I actually think that for that kind of wonky job, that is appropriate homework, actually. Yeah. And, you know, it was probably really competitive to get a job with Moynihan. So that to me does not sound inappropriate. I think it really depends on the kind of context. And in that context, probably not over the top.
He got the job. So, right. And he went on to bigger and better things. Now, let's talk about that relationship with a mentor. How candid should you be as that, both at the beginning of the relationship and as it grows?
I think it's all about trust and appropriateness. So if you feel a really close connection early on, and that feeling is obviously reciprocated, you will know, as in any smart relationship, how far you can go. But I think it's probably wise to follow the lead of the mentor in terms of the balance of personal and professional, for example, or how much you want to reveal about any given situation, or even how much time you want to suggest you spend together. I think it's really good to follow the lead of the mentor, especially if the mentor is a very busy person. Always offer to meet in a way that's convenient to your mentor or that's respectful of the mentor's schedule. Never suggest an in-person meeting if the person is only suggesting that you talk by phone, for example. So try to follow that lead and understand that every mentor relationship might have different logistics even around it. How do you get together? How do you communicate? How often do you communicate?
And let's talk about favors, because many people seek out these relationships in the hope that the mentor can open doors, make phone calls, make introductions. How do you ask for favors in a relationship like this? And when is it appropriate to send thank you notes and gifts?
Good questions. I think favors are a really interesting game, because if you are really kind of good at what you do and kind of contributing something valuable, often when you ask someone to do a favor on your behalf, you might make them look really good, right? So whenever someone is recommending you for a job, for example, they're helping someone fill a role. So you might be actually helping your mentor by making the mentor look good to the person that they refer you to. So I do think it's important to understand that when you ask for a favor, it's your job to make your mentor look really, really good because that person by referring you. So it's, favors are, most people will not make introductions they don't feel comfortable making. So I think it's appropriate to always say, I would love to meet so-and-so, for example. Would you feel comfortable making an introduction? If you know you want something specific and you can think of a very respectful way to ask it, that's entirely appropriate for a mentee to do of a mentor. But the advice I'd give is to make it easy for your mentor to help you. So you might say, and I've prepared an email that you could forward along, obviously modify as you like and forward it along to make the introduction. And make sure that if it's, for example, you're responding to a job posting and you know your mentor knows somebody at the organization, make sure that you have followed the instructions perfectly in the application, including everything they want, and you've written a stellar cover letter, and someone else has checked it, and it doesn't have a typo, and all of that. The key is you want to make sure that your mentor looks good when they do you a favor. But I think most mentors will give you some hints about what feels comfortable.
I like your emphasis on being direct and being clear about what you want, and also your advice that you make it easy for the mentor to say yes by preparing materials or emails or the like. Well, I want to turn the conversation to why people should become mentors themselves.
So two quick questions, Marcy. What does it take to be a successful mentor? And what do you say to listeners who think, oh, I don't have anything to offer? What could I do for other people? I'm just starting out in my career, or I'm nobody important.
Well, I think the most important quality in a mentor is being available and listening. And we talk so much about having all these professional skills or having certain status or even having a stellar network. And the truth is, none of those things matter as much as being available and being supportive and being a listener. I just read a phenomenal new book that has a really strong mentoring theme. It's called The Female Persuasion by Meg Wolitzer. And the whole book is about intergenerational mentoring. And there's a scene in this book where the older mentor talks about how what younger people are looking for is someone who believes in them and someone who sees something in them that then gives them the faith to go forward and try to do something. And all of us have the ability to be that for someone else. So I think that the bar can be pretty low, but it's something that has to do with heart more than it has to do with hard skills.
I have found, and I'm sure you have too, that people hunger for connection, and they're when you make time for others, they're not only grateful, but great things follow. So great advice. Now tell us, Marcy, what's next for you?
What's next for me? Good question. Well, I am very deep into this Encore work, and I turned 52 last year, and I feel like I aged into the Encore stage of life, which I've been doing this work for nearly a decade, and I now feel like I'm firmly, living in this life stage myself. And I just think this mission is more and more important. How can we figure out how to make the best use of this kind of huge well of talent we have in our getting older population. So I just hope that the ideas we talk about in what we call the Encore movement become more commonplace. We're working on a new initiative at Encore right now, a diversity initiative to bring new and undiscovered voices into the conversation about aging and purpose in the second half of life and some of the challenges for people finding that kind of purpose. So I'm very excited about that work. As you know, I'm really excited about this generation to generation campaign. We have a new prize, an innovation prize, the Encore Prize, and we're awarding $100,000 to people who are innovating new models to bring the talent of older people to younger people. So if these ideas appeal to people, I would love them to sign up on our mailing list on the Encore.org website and, and get involved.
We'll be sure to include Encore's URL in our show notes. And I know people not only can learn more about you at Encore.org, but can follow you on Twitter. And your Twitter handle is Hey Marcy, and that's Marcy with an I. Marcy, thanks for being on the show today.
My pleasure.
It's been an honor. Take care.
Okay, you too.
We're back in the MaxList studio with Jessica and Leela. What are some of your takeaways from my conversation with Marcy?
That was great. She had such great content about just mentors in general. I was thinking that we haven't done a podcast about, or many podcasts about mentoring. And I think that's such an important aspect of both the job search and career development, but also I liked her focus on, or her note about it being important for life in general and that it can be valuable. And we need people that are kind of can act as guides in all aspects of life. And I also really liked her notes about, or her statements about, that you don't have to have one mentor forever, that it can be, because I think that's a common misconception, is that you have to choose a mentor that's going to be from the very beginning until you're, you know, retired. And that's just number one, that's really a lot of pressure. And number two, that's not true. And it won't be, you know, people change and evolve and like your goals change and your, sometimes your city changes and things like that, that it's just not feasible to have that. Sometimes it happens, but it's not necessary for that to be a successful mentorship. And so I thought that was really important that she noted. And I also really liked the two of you, the conversation about the favors side of things of the relationship, because that was interesting for me, because I guess I see mentors as being more of a guide of and having it be more of a relationship that's reciprocal, and maybe not so much of, hey, will you do this thing for me to advance my career, but sort of getting the guidance and the advice and the just being a sounding board for, yeah, here are my goals, how can I achieve these, and kind of like having regular check-ins with someone that maybe you don't have at your office, or you don't have
more of an advisor perhaps than an advocate.
Yeah, and I think the advocacy is really important, but in the sense that it's, and maybe favors was just triggering for me a little. Like the word was like not right for me, is because I know that
I do find people hope that someone, if they meet, yeah, someone who has an influential position, that if I can only get in front of her, she can make a phone call, right, and all my problems will be solved.
Right, which I thought was a really good, that you brought that up in such a way, because for me, that's not what I think about, but I don't doubt that that is an aspect for things. So I thought that was really...
I think some people have that expectation. That's, yeah, why I raised the point.
I thought that that was a great part of the conversation, just to show the full spectrum of what a mentor can be. And one more thing, and then... and I can probably just talk about this all the time, but I also just liked her focus on... anybody can be a mentor, that it's not this sort of thing that you have to age into or get to a certain level before you can be. There's not check boxes for, oh, okay, now you're qualified kind of a thing. I like that she reiterated that of, it just takes heart and takes, you know, we all have experience in, mm-hmm. And Lila, you mentioned this earlier in your resource about like when you were going through the job search on your own, and that's, if you were talking to, and you are talking to a large audience of people, but if you were talking one-on-one to someone about my experience in the job search, that's a way of mentoring someone, right? It's just like sharing your own experiences and being able to help them so that they don't go through the same struggles, or that they have someone to lean on, those types of things. So I thought that was really valuable.
I'm glad you brought that up, because, yeah, we all have something to offer. We're all expert in many things,
absolutely,
whatever our age or wherever we are in our careers.
Or not even an expert, a lot to offer. But yeah, we have a lot to offer, yeah, and we all have life experience that can be valuable for other people. And yeah, so anyway, what did you think, Lila?
Yeah, I kind of agreed with you. And I also noticed this other point that she made, which is that somebody else has been there before. Somebody else has experienced that same challenge that you're facing.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go it alone or feel like, oh man, I'm the only person that's ever had to deal with this, because there's somebody else out there who's dealt with it and who's gotten past it and is a better like person for it. So just seeking out those people who can just kind of be like your guide and your, yeah, like your sounding board, like you were saying, I think that's really valuable. And there's, I think it was important too how she mentioned there's a lot of different ways you can ask for mentors too.
Yes.
There's not just one way to do it, or, oh, there's just like follow this exact guide for how to be a mentor. Like there's kind of a lot of different ways you can do it or be a mentor.
Yes. I'm glad you brought that up, because I do think that that's a really important point that I don't want that to get lost. So thank you for saying that. Yeah. That's good.
Agreed. And when I think about mentorship, you know, we're always talking about informational interviews on,
right,
this podcast, and that is a form of mentorship.
Absolutely.
Because you're, you're seeking someone out because she or he has some insight or experience or understanding that can be valuable to you to help you solve a problem. In this case, find a job or make a career change. And that's what good mentors do. And that's why I think everybody can be a mentor as well, because again, we've all had experiences and we have insights that can be just as valuable to others.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think informational interviews, kind of going off that same idea, is that informational interviews can be a really good way of finding the right fit for a longer term mentor.
Good point.
That, you know, I agree with you that one-off informational interviews can be a form of mentoring, but you can also suss out who could be, you know, where you have that instant sort of connection, or you start having the conversations and realizing how much your paths are similar, and it kind of becomes a natural mentorship opportunity. So I think that's a good point.
All right, great. Well, thank you both, Jessica and Leela, and thank you, Marcy, for joining us this week as our guest. And thank you, our listeners, for downloading today's episode of Find Your Dream Job. Now, if you're looking for more career-focused podcasts like ours, be sure to check out the 2018 edition of Top Careers Podcast Guide, and you'll discover 78 other shows that can help you get hired. Get your free copy of our Top Careers Podcast Guide today. Go to topcareerpodcasts.com. And join us next Wednesday when our special guest will be Lisa Zagarmi. She'll explain how to follow your calling in your career. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.